Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I got to roast you in my social media posts. You double dose, undiagnosed. You feeling tired, life expired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones.
Welcome to another edition of Coach Mike Jones podcast. Here we are with our host, Coach Mike Jones, the coach with the most, coming at you from coast to coast, live here in Puyallup, Washington. And also we got the one and only Sign Guy on. How you doing, Sign Guy?
Doing fairly well this early June.
Yes. Okay, let's get to some wrestling show notes for the weekend. Today, 5CC Wrestling in Bellingham, Washington. And then PWK in South Bend, Indiana. 614 Wrestling in Columbus, Ohio. Supreme Wrestling in Madison, Indiana. Midget Warriors are in Elmira, New York. TSW in London, Kentucky. There's WWA in Livermore, Kentucky. KCW in Knoxville, Tennessee. PCW in Lexington, South Carolina. Glam Wrestling is in Oakland, California today. Gouge is in Raleigh, North Carolina today. GCW in Atlantic City, New Jersey. KEW in Frankfort, Connecticut. BST in Bridgeport, Connecticut. PWG in Dublin, Georgia, NWCW in Whiteboro, New York, and then tomorrow there's Pacific Northwest BCW in Portland, Oregon, Reactivate Pro in Richland, Washington, GCW in Atlantic City, New Jersey, and PVPW in East Hampton, Massachusetts. Also, tonight is the night two of the Don Basher Memorial in Indianapolis, Indiana for WCWO. And then don't forget, next week is June 11th is Northwest Pro. And then June 18th is CPW at Marysville at the Strawberry Festival. Man, a lot of wrestling going on. And like you were saying, if we did all the show notes, we could go on for like an hour.
Probably so. There's a lot going on.
There is. And, today we're scheduled to have Jeff the G call in, go over some MMA. Goblin's supposed to call in and talk about his upcoming match at the Marysville Festival. I think Wild Lyle and Sunny Days is probably going to call in also. And might even have a few surprise callers. But anyway, let's get to the Seattle Mariners and the Cincinnati Reds organizational report. So, over there in Florida, The Daytona Tortugas are 19-29. How they? What are they up to?
Holding up umbrellas. There's nasty weather down there. They've been called already.
My goodness. Okay. Yeah, they're playing St. Lucie today at Clover Park Stadium.
That got scrapped. It'll be a doubleheader tomorrow. They already called it for today.
Today it's been canceled. I see that. Okay. Yeah, and the Mariners low A. The Modesto Nuts are, how are they doing now?
Let's see. Let me go into my notes here, and I see that Modesto is 22-26.
Yeah, and they're playing the Fresno Grizzlies at home at John Thurman Field today. It's Military Appreciation Day, and the Nuts are putting Joseph Hernandez, their best pitcher, on the mound. He's 4-1 with a 2.78 ERA. And the top performers so far for the Nets this year are Edwin Arroyo. He's batting .310. Top home run guy is Roberto Perez. Has 15 home runs. That's a league-leading home runs in the California League. And Jonathan Clase has 18 stolen bases. And also the Modesto Nets are fourth in hitting in the California League with a .240 average. And they're third in ERA with a 4.31 ERA. Okay, let's go on to High A. The Dayton Dragons are 33-15. What are they up to?
Well, they're playing South Bend, which of course is in Indiana, and the Dragons won last night 5-2, and they will pick up the series again today.
And who's some of the top stars for the Dragons now?
Williams had a great offensive flurry last night. He's doing very well. Joe Boyle won the Midwest League Pitcher of the Month for May, so he's obviously doing fairly well on the pitching side of things.
All right, cool. And then today, what do they got? Who's on the mound for him today?
Roa is on the mound. He is 0-1. 5.7 ERA. I believe this will be his second start.
And that's at Day Air Ballpark there, yes.
Yes,
okay,
they're in Dayton.
On to Everett. What's their record?
Everett is 20-27.
Yes, the Everett Aqua Sox in the Northwest League. They're second in batting with a .234. They're last in ERA in the Northwest League at 4.95, so hopefully they can change that around. And today they'll be hosting the Eugene Emeralds in Funko Field, and Everett's bringing Jim Joyce to the mound. He's 1-4. Top performers for the Aqua Sox this year so far are Justin Lavey's batting .297. He also has 9 stolen bases. And he was the player of the month for the Northwest League last month, so that's good. And Spencer Picard is one of their top hitters, .256 average with 8 home runs and 25 RBIs. Their top pitcher is Bryce Miller, 3-1 with a .198. He struck out 67 batters in 48 innings. And also other notable things for the Everett Aqua Sox is Juan Mercedes pitched a 7-inning no-hitter and struck out 10 last week. And also making rehab assignments in Everett are Eric Swanson and Giles, Mariners relievers. Hopefully they can get going and get back to the Mariners soon. All right, on to Chattanooga. They're now 26-22. What do they got going?
They had a rain out the other day. They're looking to make that up today. So they got a doubleheader today.
And they're playing at Coolray Field there in Gwinnett, right? Oh, no, I'm sorry. I had the wrong team there.
Rocket
no,
City.
Let me see. The Rocket City. What's their name? The Rocket City Trash, what?
I think so, yeah. They'll be trashed after that second game today if Chattanooga does well.
There it is. It's the Rocket City Trash Pandas. What a name.
Well,
yeah, and
they're
named
after
18...
the Raccoons.
Yeah, they're playing at AT&T Field there in Chattanooga, Tennessee today, yeah. Any other notes from them?
De La Cruz still doing very well. He's leading the team in stolen bases and runs.
And he's one of the top prospects for the Reds.
Yeah, he definitely is. He is one of the two guys they're looking at as the shortstop of the future.
Okay, now on to Arkansas Travelers.
Let's see, Arkansas looks to be at 25 and 24, just above 500.
Yeah, man, the whole Seattle Mariners organization has lately, for the last few weeks now, the whole organization has been under 500, which is really horrible since they were predicted to have the top minor league system. So Arkansas finally got above 500 just the other day. And today they're playing at Springfield against the Springfield Cardinals at Hammonds Field there in St. Louis there, or Springfield, Missouri, excuse me. And Arkansas is 10th in the league in batting at 224, and they're first in ERA with the 386 in the Texas League. Top performers for the Travelers are Zach DeLoach batting 258. Joe Rizzo and Jake Schiener have tied with 6 home runs for the team lead. And Cade Marlowe has 12 stolen bases for the Travelers. Top pitchers are Tyler Dollard. He's 2-2 at the 109 ERA. And Connor Jones just pitched another 7-inning no-hitter last week for the Travelers. He had 8 strikeouts in that game. Also, other notable things, Arkansas has Emerson Hancock, the top prospect for the Mariners, on the mound today. He's 0-1 with the 2.25 ERA, but the good news is Springfield has only faced him 7 times, and Hancock's gone 0, or Springfield has gone 0-7 against Hancock so far. So hopefully he can continue that and do good today against them and get another win for the Travelers. Okay, now on to AAA. The Louisville Bats are 18-33. Any notes for them?
Louisville playing Gwinnett today. The Bats won yesterday 3-2, so they're looking to continue the streak. They're struggling there in Louisville.
And that's the one that's at Cool Ray Field in Gwinnett. And
yeah.
Where is Gwinnett located?
I want to say Gwinnett is in Alabama, but I'm not 100% sure. I'm going to have to research that.
Okay, I got it right here. It's the Gwinnett Stripers. It's the fish is their logo, and they're playing at Cool Ray Field in Lawrence, Georgia.
Georgia borders on Alabama.
It does, yes. Okay, and then let's see, who's some of the top performers for the Bats?
Puercoto is probably the leader offensively. Barrero is doing fairly well, but they're struggling there in Louisville. You don't have a whole lot of, like, really top prospects for Louisville. Christian Santana has a pretty good average, but we'll see how he pans out in the long haul. It's a marathon, not
okay.
A sprint.
It is, yes. And then for the Mariners traded Jake Fraley, Justin Dunn, and Brandon Williamson to the Reds for Winker and Soares. And as of now, it looks like the Mariners have clearly won this trade. And I've checked on what's going on with Jake Fraley and Justin Dunn. Jake Fraley's on the 10-day injured list, and Justin Dunn has been injured all year. He's on the 60-day injured list. And then Brandon Williamson's looking good over there for Chattanooga. Let me see. He's 5-1 with the 368. So, yeah, he's looking pretty solid, that solid left-handed pitcher over there. So
it's a marathon, not a sprint. A year from now, you could be saying, well, the Mariners clearly lost that trade.
That's true, yes. The other guys come on strong, yes. Definitely. Okay, now on to the Mariners.
They're at 23-29. They're 6 games under.
Yeah, I know. My goodness, but at least they've won a couple in a row now. And last night, Soares, the ex-Cincinnati Reds, won that game with a home run in the top of the ninth to take the lead. And then Paul Sewald slammed the door. So, man, we're hoping they can continue that today. The Mariners have Marco Gonzalez on the mound. He's 3-5 with a 3.55 ERA. He's going against Texas's Glenn Otto, who's 3-2 with the 4.33 ERA. Each other, Charlie Colbinson has really done well against Marco Gonzalez, batting 4.62 with the home run. And also Mitch Garver's 3.33 with the home run and 3 RBIs. Nobody for the Mariners has faced Glenn Otto yet. So we hope they can turn it around and get it to 500 soon. Cincinnati Reds, though, let's see what they're up to. Yeah, they've done pretty decent in the last 15 games. They're 8-7. In their last 10 games, they're 6-4. So what are they up to today?
They have Washington, the Nationals. They lost last night, but they are back at it today with Washington.
Yes, and the Reds are going with Taylor Mahle. He's 2-5 with a 5.53, and Washington's bringing up Eric Fetty. He's 3-4 with a 4.60 ERA. And in today's matchups, Nelson Cruz bats 500 with a home run against Mahle. And Victor Robles is batting 1,000 against him. And Juan Soto's 375 with a home run and an RBI. But for the Reds, Kyle Farmer's batting 1,000 against Fetty. And also Mike Moustakas is batting 1,000 with a home run and 3 RBIs. And even Tommy Pham is batting 1,000. Man, it looks like you guys are favored in this game there at Great American Ballpark today in Cincinnati. And Joey Votto's picked it up.
Hopefully so. June's always historically a rough month. They are off to a little bit of a rough start in June, but they had an amazing May compared to where they were in April. So we'll see if they can continue to climb back up a little bit and maybe get close to 500 by end of June.
Definitely. And Tyler Stevenson's doing good. And then Joey Votto seemed to pick it up a little bit. He's now batting 181. Hopefully he'll be up to 200 here soon.
He always starts off slow, Coach. He's a slow starter. Plus, of course, he was on the injured list. He had that rehab assignment where he went through the minor leagues. He's only been back a couple of weeks, so he's still getting into the groove.
Yeah, and Kyle Farmer looks to be doing good. He's batting 263 with 5 homers and 28 RBIs. Tell us a little bit about him.
Farmer's doing well so far this season. He started really slow, like pretty much everybody on the team. But he's picking it up, and hopefully he'll be all right. Things might be interesting by the time we get to the Field of Dreams game.
And when is that?
Field of Dreams happens in, I believe, August. I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, August 11.
And also, Tommy Pham still on his revenge tour. hopefully he can do good, and maybe the Reds can sign him for an extension.
He's already said he wouldn't do it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that means they should get rid of him.
When he signed the contract to play this year, he said this is a one and done. He had no interest staying. He's going to go to whoever the highest bidder might be, and the Reds pretty much never the highest bidder.
Okay, and other notable news for the Seattle Mariners, J-Rod. Julio Rodriguez was the Rookie of the Month last month. He's the first rookie in Major League Baseball to, in his first 50 games, to have 50 hits and 15 stolen bases in a month. So that's really impressive. And I'm looking for big things for him. So any more notes for the Reds?
I believe that the people in Iowa can now register to try to get tickets for that Field of Dreams game in August. So if you have extra few thousand dollars to buy a ticket, make your plans right away.
All right, Sign Guy, thank you so much for your time today, and looking forward to doing it next week. And then plus, we got to get together with QT, and be nice to do a Sign of the Times together, and do another video organizational report too. So I'm looking forward to those.
Absolutely. Hopefully we'll get that done in the very, very near future.
Thanks so much, brother.
All right, Coach.
All right. We got another guest on the line. We got our MMA expert on the line, Jeff the G. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Coach. How you doing?
I'm doing great. So, yeah, they got a big card coming up. Can you let us know about it?
Yeah, they actually got a pretty big card going on right now. I think the early prelims are still going on. It's a main event of, let's see, Alexander Volkov and Jarzino Rozenstruik. So this main event's going to be a banger. It's two big heavyweights. I like to scrap, like to throw down, and I'm pretty excited about this main event. I'm trying to catch up on the prelims now, but they're in progress as we speak. I think there's been five or six fights so far, but yeah, it's been a pretty good card so far.
Okay, any other notable fights today?
Yeah, I like the co-main event as well. The co-main event, we got Dan Ige versus Mozar Ivalov, and this is a great matchup at 145 pounds. These guys are pretty well matched. Ivalov is a undefeated Russian. He's 15-0. He's a very crafty fighter. He's a really good grappler, and he's got some heavy hand as well. And he's going against Dan Ige, the American. He's 15-5. And they're both really good fighters. It's a great matchup. I'm excited to see how these guys do against each other. I was just checking it out. Ige is coming off of a couple of losses, but they're against tough people. He's coming off a loss against, Josh Emmett. And then his last loss before that was against Korean Zombie. So he's been fighting some really tough guys, and he's looking to get back onto a win streak. And obviously going up against a undefeated, scary Russian guy like Ivalov, this could be a good opportunity for him to get up in the rankings.
Definitely. And then I see right now they got Felice Herrig versus Carolina Kowalczyk.
Yep, it's Carolina Kowalczyk.
Okay. And then who do you think could win that one?
That one's kind of, it's kind of a toss-up. Both girls are experienced fighters. Carolina's fought for the belt, I believe, a couple years ago. And, she's had some ups and downs, and she's just a really scrappy fighter. Felice Herrig is an American. She's 14-9, and I think she's been up and down lately as well, kind of in and out of the UFC, but she made her way back, and this should be an exciting fight. They're both scrappers, and, they both like to get down. They're not really in too many boring fights, I would say. Herod's coming off of 3 straight losses, so this is something she really is going to look forward to rebounding and getting this win. So that'll be an interesting fight. That's coming up in probably the next 5 or 10 minutes, I think. So that's going to be a good one to catch. And then there was another one. Michael Trezano versus Lucas Almeida. That's the kind of the fight before the co-main event. So that's going to be an exciting fight as well. Both guys are young and hungry, and they're looking to move up in the division and hopefully become in the top 15 rankings here soon. They're both hungry, and they're ready to get back into those rankings, and that'll be an exciting fight to watch.
Yes, and I've got the results for the fights that already happened right now. Aaron Blanchfield beat J.J. Aldrich in the second round by submission in that women's flyweight bout. And then these names are hard to pronounce, but Renat Fakhretdinov, he beat Andrus Mikulatis in the third round by unanimous decision. And then Jeffrey Molina beat Zolmogov by a split decision. And then Tony Gravely beat Johnny Munoz in the first round in 108 by TKO. And then Benoit St. Denis beat Stolas by submission in the second round. Also, Damon Jackson beat Argeteta by decision in the third round.
Yep, that was one I was looking forward to watching too. And Argeteta was undefeated featherweight, so that's a pretty impressive victory. Damon Jackson's a dog. He's a good fighter, so that I'm gonna have to go back and watch these. But I was looking forward to seeing that one for sure.
So who do you think's favored in the Joe Solik De Silva fight?
The Solecki and De Silva. You know, it's hard to say. De Silva has a lot more experience, I think, but as far as like high level competition, it's gonna be tough. It looks like they're in round two right now, so I haven't seen the fight, but I always like pulling for American guys. You know, maybe I'm just biased, I guess. But and Joe Solecki's a dog too. He's a good fighter. He's a good wrestler, and he brings some power too. So if I had to pick, I would probably lean towards Solecki on that one.
All right, and then I heard you got some picks for me.
Yeah, so I was thinking, you know, maybe I could do the top 3 fights. You know, we'll go through there and just make some picks, and they might not be the best picks, but they're going to be what I feel like, you know, is going to be a good pick, and maybe I do have some favoritism towards some guys, but I'd say with that third fight we talked about a little bit, Michael Trezano versus Lucas Almeida, they're pretty evenly matched. This is a featherweight fight. This I could see going either way, but in this instance, I'm going to have to go Trezano. He's a young up-and-comer guy. You know, he's a really scrappy fighter, and I think he's going to be able to get it done. I'd say probably second-round submission or TKO on the ground, maybe ground and pound, I would say. And then for the co-main event, that's a tough one because it's Dan Ige, he's the American, versus the Russian Movzar Ivalev. Ivalev's highly favored. He's a minus 420 betting favorite. And, you know, Vegas is usually pretty good with their odds. Like they say, you don't see a bookie with a part-time job. So they're usually pretty good at their job. But I would really like to see Dan Ige win, but I think it's going to be a tough matchup for him. And I think Ivalev is probably going to inch this one out in a decision, I think.
All right.
And as far as the main event goes, this is a tough one because, man, these guys are heavyweights. One strike can change the whole match. You know, I talked about last week, Volkov, he's a tough, experienced Russian fighter. He's a champion in other organizations. He's 6'7". He is a giant. and he's just kind of good all the way around. He's slightly favored in this matchup, I think, just because he's such a well-rounded fighter. But Rozenstrike is, he's a beast. He's just, he's got cannons in his hands, and he can really knock anybody out. I feel like if I had to pick on this one, it's almost a coin flip as far as even the Vegas odds go. I would probably go with Rozenstrike by third round TKO or knockout.
All right. Yeah, I think my pickup for that one is Volkov, yes.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with that. I mean, the guy's experienced, and he's fought everybody. You look at the records, and he has, I think this is his 45th fight, so, you know, compared to Rozenstrike's 16th fight. So it's not a bad pick. It's just with these heavyweights, it's so hard to tell. You know, one strike could really change everything, so not a bad pick at all.
Definitely. Okay, and then what about the next one?
Oh, that was the main event. We could look at next week's card and just kind of gloss over the main event if you'd like.
What about, did you want me to do a couple more picks for tonight?
Oh, yeah, if you want to do picks, that'd be great. Yeah, okay, we could do that.
Okay, so there's at least another... Let me see, Silva versus Botello. Did I say that right?
I think
I'm going to have to go
Botello,
with Botello.
Okay.
Okay, and then let me see. How about one you pick for me, as in which one you want me to pick?
As in a specific fight? Okay, let's go.
Yeah.
Man, those two other bottom cards on the main card, or two bottom fights on the main card, are going to be pretty good. I'd say probably the Alonzo Menafield and the Askar Mozorov fight. Let's see what your pick would be on that one.
I think Mozorov on that one.
Okay. Okay, that's an experienced guy. Since he's Ukrainian, I think. That should be a good fight. Menafield... He's a lot less experienced, so, I mean, that's not a bad idea. I mean, it looks like Mozorov is coming off three straight wins, so all by finishes in the first round. So that's a pretty good decision right there, I would say.
Okay, and then give me one more to check out.
And then let's go to the one right above it, Oday Osborne versus Zaruk Adashev.
I think I'm going to have to go with Osborne on that one. Yeah, I definitely like him more.
Okay, yeah, he's a good fighter. He's been in the UFC for a few years now, and I don't know much, honestly, about the Zaruk Adashev. He looks like he's got kind of a rough record for being kind of early in his career, but, you know, these guys will surprise you. Sometimes they'll lose their first three fights, and then they'll go on four-fight win streak. So it's really hard to tell based on their record. So that could be a great match, or it could just be a one-sided victory for Osborne. So I would agree with that pick as well.
Okay, I think I got another caller calling in here in a minute, but we can go over the main event for the next fight or the next show, yeah.
Okay. Okay, I think that's the UFC 275, right, I believe?
It is, and that one is in Singapore, at Singapore Indoor Stadium, June 11th.
Yeah, that should be a good fight. You know, we briefly touched on that last week. That's Glover Teixeira versus Jiří Procházka. And, man, that's a great fight. I really love Glover. He's like one of the icons in the sport. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Not that there's really ballots in the UFC, but... He's going to be a quick Hall of Famer. He's been around for many years, and he's fought the best. And it took him a long time to kind of get to the top and collect that championship belt, but he finally did it at 42 years old. And I have nothing but respect for him. It seems like he's just getting better with age. And, you know, he's really fighting a monster. And Jiří Procházka, he's a fighter out of the Czech Republic. So He's really on a hot streak. He's only fought two times in the UFC, but his last two fights are both first-round finishes. And he's a really crafty, kind of off-the-wall guy, and I'm looking forward to that. If I had to pick, I might lean towards Prochazka on that one, but, man, I mean, I really like to see Glover get it done.
Okay, and who are you going for? So you'd like to see him win, okay.
Yeah, I'd like to see him win, but realistically, I could see Jiří kind of taking the belt from him. But, you know, a lot of people have doubted Glover his whole way to the top, and he just keeps proving him wrong. So I would not be surprised if he does get it done.
Okay, and then what about on the semi-main on that?
The co-main, is that, that's Valentina Shevchenko?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, oh man, she's the GOAT right now. She's the women's flyweight champion, 125-pound champion. She's just an absolute well-rounded fighter. She's great. She's just been mowing through these girls lately, and pretty viciously, I would add. It hasn't even been very close. She's had a couple of close matches with Amanda Nunes at a different weight class, and she lost both of those fights, but she's kind of cleaned out her division to the point where people want to see her go up or face some, get a big super fight or something coming up, because she's on the next level, and she's just kind of cleaning out her division right now. So I wouldn't expect nothing different in that fight.
Well, hey, Jeff, thank you so much for calling in, for your insight. We appreciate it, and we're looking forward to talking to you again next week.
All right. That sounds good. Thank you, Coach. I appreciate it.
All right, looks like we got the one and only Goblin on the line. How you doing, brother?
Hey, 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 it's the Northwest Party Goblin coming at you. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing great, man. It's nice to hear that you got back, that you ended your retirement. And, you know, it lasted a while. We missed you in the Northwest.
It did last a while, but I just couldn't stay away. You know how they're selling wrestling, never say never.
Yeah, and I've seen you've been down there in BCW, and you got a big match coming up on the 18th of June.
That's right. We're going to be right here in Washington at the Strawberry Fest for CPW. Going to be
and do you know who?
Going to be a big match, big show, a lot of people.
Who are you going against?
Say again. Oh, I'm going to be going against this guy named Draven Vargas from the Hellbound faction down in Oregon. I've actually run across those guys in the locker room a little bit down there. So, you know, I'm a little familiar with him. But he better understand,
okay.
You know, today I'm in the gym putting the time in, putting the work in, putting the punches and kicks together. And now we're on the disc golf course, putting the throws in, having some fun, putting the party on. And when we come into the 18th, we're going to have the party rolling right into it. Full momentum.
Definitely. And, man, you've had an impressive career here in the Northwest, and and all over, you know, you've got over 500
matches. That's right.
Matches.
I'm
you've
no
many
slouch, buddy.
Exactly. Yeah, over 500 matches, and you've had titles pretty much everywhere you went. You were undefeated in SCW for how long?
Oh, gosh. I think it was going on almost 5-6 years, something like that. It was a decent amount of time that nobody was able to put the shoulders to the mat or get me to tap out.
That was definitely an impressive run there. And then who have you faced down in BCW recently?
Let's see here. I wrestled Tyson Lee recently, and he faced the Wrath of the Mist and the Green Thunder Driver, and the crowd loved it. And then here. Who else I wrestled? Big V down there, and he's a monster, and I brought it to him. That was a very good match. The crowd was eating it up. There's a couple big hosses in there. Laying the slams, laying the punches, laying forearms in there.
Yeah, you're definitely no small order. What is your size and weight?
I'm a little lighter these days. I'm no longer over the 240 mark. I'm now around the 230-ish. About 10 pounds lighter than I used to be, but I still stand 6'5". So, you know, no short order. A lot of beef.
Yeah, definitely. I know I've always had to look up to see you, exactly.
Yeah.
And then
still got the There's a move, the spin kick, putting the dust on people's chin. You know,
nice.
Still
yes.
bringing it. Still bringing it.
Yes, definitely. And then, so what else you got coming up?
Well, I don't know. I think I may even be at the Auburn show, possibly. I mean, there's no pen on ink just this moment, but there's talks. And that's
yes,
going to be at the Vision Quest, or is it the Fitness Quest? Is it it's the old Vision Quest, yes? Now known now is Fitness Quest.
Yes, they used to be Vision Quest. Now they're Fitness Quest. And, yes, I heard Yvonne is looking to sign you to a match, yes.
That's right.
And, of course, you've wrestled for NGW many times, and looks like
yeah,
our card's
I think one of my last matches before I took my retirement was against your champion who got the win on me. Got the win on me.
Yes, that was an impressive match. And I know
it certainly
was.
I was shocked and surprised, but pleasantly surprised. It was a good match. It was really good. And he got that victory fair and square. No funny business.
And then, you know, I'm sure he'll accept your challenge again one day when time permits.
Yeah, I would be game. I'd be game to run that one back.
And then I would, yeah, definitely. And then I'm looking to do a full interview with you. You definitely got a nice story and a nice career so far. And we'd love to have you on for a full interview. Right now I'm not really doing full interviews. I'm just having guests on. But have you been on Turnbuckle Turmoil yet?
Yeah, I've been on there a couple times. We've done the Turnbuckle Turmoil a few times to promote. And yes, I've done that.
Okay, cool. I was just checking because, man, they've done over 1,700 shows, and I've been on the co-host for like 9 months now. So, yeah, I don't really know exactly everyone who's been on. But
yeah,
I
when I was on it, it was Dimitri and Sign Guy. We're doing the show, I believe.
Okay. Well, I guess
it was a long
time
ago.
I can ask you, how much more time do you got?
Well, I'm in between rounds of golf here, so I've got a little bit of time, but not too much. Like we could definitely chat a little bit off air and schedule a time to come back and do a full interview. For sure.
Okay, cool. That would be great. I'd really appreciate it. And, yeah, like you said, you faced Draven Vargas before.
I faced him a long time ago. Yes, I have. I faced him a long time ago. But the wrestlers grow and change, so I'm not expecting what he had for me last time is going to be anything like he has for me this time at all. So,
okay.
You know, I'm ready for a completely different playbook. I'm not taking anything for granted, you know, expecting him to have the same game plan that he had before. By any means.
Definitely.
He's running with a new crew now. He's doing, yeah, exactly. He's doing a new faction now. They've got their stuff together. And, you know, should be a very good match, I think, because they're bringing it, and I've always brought it. So, there you go.
Yeah, and their group is called Hellbound with Petrov and the Rat King. I know that you faced Rat King in NGW before.
Yeah, I did. I did face the Rat King. Back at the what was that? It was a food drive show for NGW right here. It was local. It was between Puyallup and Tacoma.
Yeah, Northwest Trucks.
Yes. It was a good match. Good match.
Yeah, and you got the victory on that one.
I sure did. Sure did.
He caught
the miss, and then he caught the tap out.
Okay, yeah. And then have you faced Petrov of that team yet?
I've faced Petrov a few times over the years, for sure. I'm no stranger to Hellbound. Like I said, I'm ready for what they're bringing, and they better understand that I bring the party till the wheels come off.
All right, cool. We appreciate you calling in, and we wish you all the luck in the world, and thank you so much. And you're welcome to call in any week, any day that I have a show that you like. We appreciate it.
All right. Sounds good, Coach. And I look forward to seeing you. Are you going to be at the Strawberry Fest?
We are. Lyle's defending his title against Chuck Payne. But before we go, do you have anything you want to plug or promote and tell people how to get a hold of you?
Besides June 18th, I want everybody down in Oregon that's listening to go down and check BCW out. That's the hardest group of guys in the locker room right now that I've seen lately, and I got to put them over. Got to put them over. But other than that, do not miss June 18th, Strawberry Fest. And then coming up, what's the date on that Auburn show?
July 16th.
July 16th. Do not sleep on that one. That's going to be like a coming home for wrestling to that venue. It's almost a little bit of history if you think about it, because it's been a long time since the federation that used to run there ran there. And now wrestling's coming back to that venue. So I don't want anybody to sleep on that one either.
Definitely. And how do people get a hold of you?
Oh, you can reach out to me on Facebook, Goblin Anderson, public profile, and you know, you can reach out to me on Messenger there.
All right.
If you type in Goblin Anderson, I'm the only one that you'll find.
All right. And, hey, I hope you win that golf game. I know you're a winner at anything you
do. Yeah, thank you. Going for it. I'm always going for it.
All right, brother. Thank you.
Right on. Thank you. Thank you for having me on, and thank you for letting me have some time to put over what I've got coming up.
Appreciate it.
All right.
All right. Thanks again for Goblin calling in, Sign Guy, Jeff the G. Appreciate everybody for being part of the show. We were hoping Sunny Days could call in, but she's over there. She's at an event right now, so I'm not sure she'll be able to. But you can also check us out on Turnbuckle Turmoil. Tomorrow's guest is former Washington State champ Paragon. And then I'll be on the Seattle Sports Union podcast Thursday night at 8 p.m. I'm excited about that. And then on June 10th, we're going to be continuing Authors Month with Gary Morgenstein. He's wrote at least 3 books, Mound Over Hell and a couple other baseball-themed books, and he used to be a writer for the PWI. And on June 12th on Turnbuckle, we're going to have the Strohmaestro with his rescheduled show. And then continuing Authors Month, June 17th, we'll have Matt Legit and Nick Iggy on the 17th of June. Then on the 19th of June, we'll have executive producer for The Wrestler and 350 Days, Evan Ginsberg will be on June 19th on Turnbuckle. Then on June 24th, we'll have the one and only Jake Shannon, the Submission Scientific Wrestling and Times 10 author Jake Shannon on Turnbuckle. Then on June 26th, we'll have Caden Cassidy on for his return show. And then coming into July 1st, we got Handsome Nick Hamrick and Adick Vickers with their rescheduled show July 1st for Turnbuckle Turmoil. I think we're going to be taking July 3rd off for Turnbuckle, and we're getting close to signing Judge Jesse out of the Midwest for Turnbuckle Turmoil. And then anyway, you guys can check me out at Coach Mike Jones, the coach with the most, and Coach Mike Jones on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter. And then don't forget to check out the Real School Army and the NGW Green Room for hundreds of interviews from celebrities all over the world. And then also we got the Seattle Mariners Organizational Report and the Cincinnati Reds Organizational Report. And then if you're looking for a car in the Washington area, you can check out S&S Best Auto Sales in Auburn and tell them Wild Lyle and Coach Mike Jones sent you. And then if you need a tow in the Washington area, check out Big Boys Towing and let them know Coach Mike Jones sent you. All right, we'll be back next week, Saturday, between 12 and 1:30 for the Seattle Mariners Organizational Report, local wrestling updates, and then we'll have Jeff the G calling back in for the MMA review, and hopefully we'll have some other special guests that we can announce soon. thank you so much for all your support and for listening. Appreciate it.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I got to roast you in my social media posts. You double dose or diagnose. You feeling tired, life inspired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones.